What's happening, y'all? We back. Grit Report starts right now.
2-1, boom. Hotep Jesus.
Of all the Jesuses I know, he's the Hotepiest. Social scientist and YouTube host, Hotep Jesus.
How the fuck do you get a name like Hotep Jesus?
The one and only Hotep Jesus.
Ryan Sharp, better known to the world as Hotep Jesus.
Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus. Hotep Jesus.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Somebody said, what do you think you are, some kind of Hotep Jesus?
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
Just like, ooh, that's sexy. Yes, I do think I'm Hotep Jesus.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, depending on where you are in the world. Welcome to the Grit Report, live Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. when I have internet. I'm your host, the Griff God.
Hotep Jesus? Hotep Jesus? Hotep Jesus?
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Oh, this is a real Hotep, brother.
Hotep to the chat. Hotep to the Hotep of Stannies.
Hotep.
What's up, y'all? Plagued by technical difficulties. Last week it was the audio. This week, mysteriously, the internet goes out in our area. Thousands of customers were affected. Apparently some wire was cut somewhere in the area, and it's funny because over by me, you know, people park their cars, you know, wherever, and there's no cars around, which means that everybody got up and went to work. Nobody's working from home. They got up and they went to work because that's where the internet was. So you can tell, like, the whole area was a ghost town. But funny enough, I came home today and internet was not working. And then I reset my router, and I don't know if it was me resetting my router or the internet coming on, but it seems like everybody else went to work today, and there was no internet this morning, maybe. But yesterday, Verizon said we had internet access, so we're back. Sorry for the issues and not being able to broadcast. It really, really killed me. It killed my my rhythm and my momentum and how I start my day and just everything just thrown off. So I left and went to go visit my dad yesterday, and I hung out with him last night, and drove back this morning with the fam. So, you know, at least I got to do something with the fam and spend some quality time. You know, sometimes we're so busy we don't get a chance to spend quality time with the fam, so I was able to do that, you know. But yeah, I was a bit concerned. When I came home today, I was like, oh, we don't got internet today. It's just like, are we gonna have internet for Hotep's been told you? Like, you know, is this like a gonna be a month-long thing? Like, what are we dealing with here, you know? So as things are starting to get scary, and I was starting to come up with contingency plans, so on and so forth. So I worked on some other things in the meantime, some things I kind of want to share, but I'm weird where sometimes I don't want to share because I feel like there's a den of thieves out there waiting to just snatch up my ideas. Anyway, today's goal is $80. Hopefully we can make up for time off. Today's super chat goal is $80, and we can also Cash App Hotep Jesus, $ Hotep Jesus Cash App, and I appreciate those as well. Who's in the chat? What up, Heather, Lauren, Oz? What up, man? Renee, Strong Dad in the chat, Cassius Cam in the chat. Appreciate you. Yeah. Welcome back. The Griff Report is back and better than ever. I was on with Alex Stein last night. I had to log on from my telephone, unfortunately. And very interesting whenever I get to collab with Alex Stein. Very, very interesting times. So shout out to Alex Stein. Cough, cough, Daily Wire. What about the Daily Wire? Why'd you bring up the Daily Wire? What happened with the Daily Wire now? What happened with the Daily Wire now? Or I should say, what hasn't happened with the Daily Wire? What up, Mike? It was hilarious going viral. Who was going viral? Who went viral? Who went viral and... What up, Haram Life? Who went viral and what happened with Daily Wire now? Get me caught up. I've been out of the loop. Tried to stay in the loop, but a lot of the topics are just uninspiring. The Daily Liar. Hotep Internet rose on the third day. Isn't that a coincidence? Oh, on Alex's show last night. Yeah, yeah. What happened with the Daily Liar? Today's presentation, I want to start off with a blank slate. I haven't quite come up with a name for this. Hold on. I haven't come up with a name for what it is I want to share today. It'll probably come at some point during the presentation. Hold on. And, yeah, we're going to start off with a clean slate. Going to start off with a clean slate. Hold on a second. Let me bring this up on your screen. Okay. I'm going to start with a very clean... And not exactly what the short, what not sure what to call this. So let's start off with the premise, and then we'll name what's in my mind or what I'm trying to extract from my mind later, right? So what we're dealing with is new information, okay? New information, okay? Now, what happens, right? There's this phenomenon of new information. So, sometimes what happens is when you receive new information, it creates a conflict, right? A conflict with old information, okay? So, we receive new information. This new information is in conflict with the old information that we had. And what I notice is the result is stress. The result is stress. And that's what we want to talk about today, distress. Now, distress expresses itself on the outside and inside, right? So there's going to be an interior and exterior reaction, okay? Stress is going to manifest itself on the interior and exterior, okay? And it's very important that we understand this phenomenon so we can recognize it within ourselves, right? We want to be able to recognize this within ourselves so that we can combat it. Because, let's drop the font size down a bit here. Because, can you guys see that? Okay, good. Because what happens is if you can't combat this, you won't be able to receive new information. Okay, there's something that happens within the body that makes us adverse to new information. It's been nasty out here without the Griff God. Salute, Nerd Nash. Shout out to Nerd Nash.
Hotep.
I'm back. So we receive new information. This new information is in conflict with the old information that we knew, and the result is stress. And then the stress manifests itself on the interior and exterior, right? On the interior, we get something called nausea. It could even be mild nausea. You just get, you know, get a little stomach turn, right? On the exterior, you get fidgeting and body movement or body adjusting, right? So you notice that you talk to somebody and, you know, Yeah, this is a concept about cognitive dissonance, right? I just don't like the term cognitive dissonance. I want to create a new term because it's just abused and used too much, and we have to understand this phenomenon, right? So on the exterior, it's going to manifest as fidgeting and body adjusting. Now, I just want to be clear. This is not something I've studied. This is not something I looked up or anything like that. This is pure observation. This is just pure observation from observing other people when I provide no information and what happens to me when I have no information. And I am no different from you. I experience the same thing, the same phenomenon. And it happens in this order, right? This is 3A. And this is, 3B, right? So, we receive no information. Again, I haven't thought this through. I'm doing this on the fly right now, right? So we receive new information, and I'm trying to flush it all out so I can give it a name. So we receive new information. This new information is in conflict with the old information, and the result is stress. And then the stress manifests itself on the interior and exterior. In fact, this is probably a subset of the above. And then we have on the interior, we experience mild nausea. And on the exterior, we get fidgeting and body adjusting. What happens next? This is, like I said, I haven't thought this through, so this is more of a live thought experiment. Welcome to my live thought experiment where, okay, there we go. All right. So what happens? So after we receive, okay, so there's a fork in the road, right? That's pretty much what happens. Now we come upon a fork, right? And this fork is decision-based, right? This fork is decision-based. Which way we go is going to be based upon a decision, right? Decision A. Act. Decision B. Ignore. Right? So, after we receive this stress, there is a decision that has to be made. Now that we have received this, C. Deny. Right? It should be deny. Or ignore, right? So I think what happens to most people is they like to act like it didn't happen. They like to have convenient amnesia. So they like to pretend like they didn't receive the information. They'll, even in this phase, they'll come up with excuses, right? So if we're talking about proper dieting, the ego will create excuses for why, you know, they can't do this or why they can't do that or why they should not. You know, well, I'm on medication, or, oh, my doctor told me not to try ashwagandha, or, you know, whatever the fuck, you know. So the mind will begin to come up with excuses in order to refrain from action, right? So act, ion, right? Action. And this is the hard part right here, because with action comes responsibility, right? And I guess that's where we should spend the brunt of our time, right here in this action phase, right? And why is action so hard? So action comes with responsibility, right? So we talk about the banking system, right? And how corrupt the banking system is and the dollar and all of this stuff. And you tell somebody, well, have you tried crypto yet? And then they come up with a whole bunch of, again, excuses, right? Or they deny the efficacy of crypto and, you know, magic internet money. And what if the internet goes out and all this other dumb shit that he come up with, right? And the truth of the matter is, when you have your wealth in the banking system holds a responsibility. When you handle crypto, the responsibility is on you. So a lot of the times what people don't want is they don't actually want the responsibility, right? The next part about action is going to be the adjustment, right? The adjustment. You have to adjust now, right? And this is the hard part. Your habits now have to change. So if we're talking about healthy eating, it comes back to this stress right here, right? Where your stress levels have increased because you received no information that said, you know, well, eggs and cheese are not good for you. And you've been eating eggs and cheese every day. And now you're like, oh my God, what do I do? Right. So this new adjustment is going to be tough. Now, what much of this stuff happens is it could increase your workload. Your workload of research, your workload of study, your workload on the preparation of your meals, right? So really what happens is you're making a trade here, right? And you're trading convenience for responsibility. You're trading convenience for responsibility. So if we're talking about healthy eating, right, the convenience is TV dinners. The convenience is the what do you call it? Pop-Tarts and the waffles. And, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, you know, I'm going to buy orange juice. It's another thing to say, I'm going to juice my oranges, right? And then you think about, okay, well, after I juice my oranges, I'm going to get only a glass out of that. And then I have to clean the damn thing. So, again, you know, responsibility rises, especially when it comes to health. When it comes to health, responsibility rises. So, you know, what people choose to do, what many people choose to do is they want to sacrifice their health for convenience because they don't want to deal with responsibility. Okay. You'll even see this with people who talk about the price of supplements. You know, we sell supplements, right? And you'll see people say that supplement is very expensive. And then you ask them about, well, what is your cancer treatment like? What's the treatment when you have an enlarged prostate? How many hours of work are you going to lose when you go to the doctor and you have to get all these operations? They don't talk about that cost. You know, the cost of your dick not working, right? Because that's what many of these foods do. When we're talking about men, it's going to reduce the vitality of the male organs, right? So they say, I don't want to spend on these supplements. However, they'll cheap out, right? So essentially what they're saying is my health is not worth the money. My health is not worth the money. I want convenience, not health. I want convenience, not wealth. Okay? And that's really what a lot of this stuff comes down to, okay, is when you receive new information, if you accept this information to be true when it is in conflict with the old information you once knew, the next step is responsibility. And that's why you'll get B and C happening. People might even try to believe the new information, but once they see the responsibility and they start going through their head of how their daily life, right, has to readjust, right? You see here under 4AI, this adjustment, your lifestyle has to change. And that's a big fear for people. What do I do now? You know, people get caught up in monotony and doing the same things over and over again. And they get in these routines. And sometimes when you have new information, it breaks your routine. That's why it's so hard to listen to the Hoteps, because we begin to tell you the truth about your political system, the truth about, you know, what you've been told about communism, fascism, and capitalism. So when you reach the Hoteps and Hotep Jesus tells you, America doesn't have enough fascism, your federal agent influencers and the left-wing influencers have demonized this word fascism to the point where when you hear it, you're like, ah, right? But when Arizona bans abortion, you applaud, but that's a form of fascism, okay? That's a form of communism, right? And we could talk about that in a little bit. I'd love to take phone calls and argue you guys about this abortion concept and, you know, argue you guys about that. That would be fun. But again, what happens is you get caught up in a state of mental stagnation where the information you have, you do not want challenged, because if it's challenged, you now have to make adjustments. You now have to take on a different daily routine, a monthly, a yearly routine, which is leading you to man's biggest fear, and that's the fear of the unknown. What is my life like? I only know what I've been doing. So now I have to adjust my life to this way of unknowing. And what's been crazy about my personality is I actually love diving into the unknown. I love having my life thrown into chaos and then having to recalibrate these things, right? Except for my internet going out. That was trash, right? But that had nothing to do with new information, right? I love receiving information that goes, boom, you were wrong, right? And then feeling the result of stress in my body and going, oh wow, look, my stomach, I'm getting that mild nausea. Look at me fidget in my seat as I receive this new information, right? And then saying, no, I am going to make a decision and decide to act on this new information and to adjust, right? So again, what we want to do is we want to be in a state of mental malleability. We want to be able to move and ebb and flow with our mental states and never be stagnant, because a stagnant mind is a dead mind. A stagnant mind is a dead mind. And what Hoteps want, we want a live and growing mind that's always receiving new information and making adjustments on the fly. And it's very important to have this in mind when you watch the Hoteps, because Strong Dad's going to throw out some information. You know, Goldstein's going to have some wild and crazy take, right? And like, 85 to 90% of the time he's right, or it just sounds like he's right, right? And then maybe the other 10% is just like, you know, I can't go there mentally with you, but I love the challenge, right? So you have these different people call in and you have this new information. I want you to measure your stress levels of when you receive new information and how you react. Measure your stress levels. People have said I'm a genius.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
And the truth of the matter is, I'm not. I'm not. I am conscious. And that's what many people are not. Or they ignore their consciousness. So I am conscious and I go, I received new information and it made my stomach hurt, and I'm willing to admit that. That part is conquering ego. I have to now admit that I didn't like that new information. And then the next step is forgiveness. It's okay for me to feel like that because I was born a human being. So these are the steps that you have to go through to control or govern the ego. Because that's what it needs. People talk about ego death and killing the ego. No, you want governance of the ego, because there's power in governing the ego. So when new information comes in, I am conscious of the stress in my body. And what I do is I have to my conscious mind is telling myself that this stress, these indicators of stress are a good thing. That means something is about to change our life, potentially for the better. So here's a new moment of transformation. Here's a new moment of a metamorphosis. Here's an opportunity for me to get better. So when people talk about Hotep Jesus, the power behind me is consciousness. Consciousness of my rights, consciousness of my wrongs, and always self-auditing. Did I handle that situation well? Did I not? Many people know they don't handle situation well, and it comes down here to number four, deny or ignore and make excuses. Well, that person was this way and that person was that way. You participated in that interaction as well, and you have to take full responsibility for your actions. Is it always like that? No. Sometimes they were just an ass and they deserve to be, somebody go upside their head. That's just the nature of humans, right? But sometimes there is something that you could have done better. And many people, what they do is they find excuses. They find excuses not to have better health. They find excuses not to start a business. They find excuses not to increase their wealth. People find excuses. And the reason why is because they are trying to dodge stress. Because responsibility comes with stress. And they don't want the stress. But really what happens is all they do is increase their long-term strength. So they forego temporary stress, immediate stress, instead and basically defer that stress to the future and stretch it out over a longer period of time to the point where it breaks them. And now they come back and say, Hotep Jesus, can you help me? Okay, you stopped making excuses. Now we can work together. Now we can move forward. Okay. I'm trying to read the chat. What are y'all saying here? Mental dog fighting can you keep up with twists and turns and making this plain is how high level combo is. Yeah. Dr. Feelsgood says spectacular presentation. You know, the more I think about it, the more I want to start to move in this direction with my streams, and start to add some more of this style of information, because this is honestly, it's just more enjoyable for me than talking about the Daily Liar or something like that. And we'll still do that. But I think it's very important that we take time to calibrate our minds. Because when you get too caught up in the Daily Liars, when you get too caught up in the Israel-Iran conflict, you know what you lose? You lose yourself.
I wish all the black people were as smart as Hotep Jesus. And I wish all the white people were as smart as Hotep Jesus. And I wish all the Hispanics were as smart as Hotep Jesus. Because that guy, he really gets it. He knows how to boil it down.
With that being said, let's get messy. Actually, no, let's go here first. Before we get messy, this is funny. This is really funny because a few weeks ago, I told you guys that I was thinking about communism. Once upon a time, Ali Shakur was presented with this concept of communism. And I wanted to run with it. I was very excited to say I'm a communist. I wanted to. But I have a great mind that says understand something fully before you just jump in. So I did my own thought experiment. And my thought experiment revolved around things I like my PlayStation. And I said, how would, we get a PlayStation to whoever wanted one? Is it a lottery? Da, da. And the more I thought about it, the more communism didn't make any sense. So check this out. Seems like somebody else had the same thought as me. Let's go to the tape.
Final question to you, Professor Wolf. Under your system of worker cooperatives, would I still get my PlayStation 5?
Absolutely. You'd have to struggle a little bit for it. You'd have to talk to your fellow workers. You'd have to talk about the distribution of income. You'd have to compare your desire for PlayStation against all the other interests of all the other people. It wouldn't be something you worked out on your own with your particular boss in any way. It would have to be a democratic decision. You'd have to come to terms with that the way you do with democratic decisions now in our society to the extent that we have them.
Final question to you.
Yeah, I hear that. Did y'all hear that? None of that shit made sense. That shit was just intellectual babble. Right? This is stuff that they do in universities where they say something, but they say nothing. They say something. You have to go through a democratic process. And then, all right, so what does that democratic process look like? They can't tell you. They just come up with like these vague concepts and consider that an explanation. And it's everything but an explanation. It just leads to more questions, which is great for a Socratic, philosophy discussion. But we're talking about how the fuck am I going to get my PlayStation in this current system? If PlayStations are in stock and I have the money to get a PlayStation, I press the buy button and they ship it to me. That's very simple. And you're talking about this socialism. There's got to be a democratic process to get a PlayStation. We got to vote on this and then compare my desire for the PlayStation versus somebody else. Basically, what they're saying is there could be a situation where we have to measure your desire, right? How do you measure somebody's desire? Now I got to get my comedy bag. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you really want this PlayStation? Well, come suck my dick.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Is this really where we're going? How bad do you want it? Right? Like, what the fuck are we talking about here? How do you measure desire? What are you willing to do? Hey, how about you gonna let me bend you over? No, this guy let me bend him over last night, so he definitely wants the PlayStation more than you. Like, what the fuck are we talking about here? And this is why I can't fuck with the communists, the socialists. I just can't do it. They're fucking idiots. And I can't fuck with the capitalists either, because they don't know how to make sense of communism. Because there are a lot of good elements of communism. It just doesn't work in terms of getting goods to the public, right? Getting goods to the public should follow market economics, right? It's just that simpler. You know what I'm saying? Sounds like Hollyweird. Exactly. It sounds like Hollyweird. Getting meat with them cheeks. You see what I'm saying? This is what would happen under communism. How bad do you want this PlayStation? What are you willing to do for it? It's ugly out here. So, yeah, I just like to say, these university guys, they never have conversations with me because they're fucking stupid. And that's my advantage. My advantage is I went to university and flunked out. I didn't. Matter of fact, can we talk about something? So this is a concept I'm going to go over with my kids soon. And it's the concept of schooling, right? So let's start a new slide up, and we're going to start over from scratch just like we did before with a clean slate. All right, let's bring this back up. So we're back here, right? So we're going to have two pathways, okay? We're going to have the normal pathway, and then we're going to have an alternative pathway. So the normal pathway, hold on. Okay, so the normal pathway goes like this: school, university, job, money. Right? This is the normal pathway. Right? This is what we teach our kids. Right? Hold on. I want to change the font size. How do you do that? All right. Can you guys see that? Control shift plus. No, that's not that. That's this. Hold on. I just want to show you how alternative thinking works, right? And see if this makes sense to you. And if you guys disagree with this, then let me know. If you guys disagree with this. All right, here we go. Format. Format options. Text. Size. I just had it up here. I'm sorry. I'm very pedantic about this. Here we go. I found it. All right. So this is the normal way to do things, right? School, university, job, money, right? All right. So actually, let's add in kids. All right. Because we're talking about the youth here, right? We're talking about your children. And a lot of this comes back to, you know, parents can't teach it. So you can't teach what you don't know, right? I'm sure you guys heard that before. You can't teach what you don't know. And that should be common sense, right? All right. So pathway number two. You guys ready? Pathway number two. And mostly women, particularly black women, have a hard time understanding this. But mostly women. Here's pathway number two. Which one makes sense to you guys? Which one makes sense? Right? I believe in teaching kids how to make money. That's what I believe in. Teach kids how to make money, and they won't need school, university, job. They'll just know how to generate income. So the only thing kids really need to learn, other than morals and ethics, is money. Teach your kids morals, ethics, and money. But the problem is people don't know how to generate money because they followed this pathway. School, university, job, or vocation and then job. So a lot of people have jobs. So they don't know how to create money. Therefore, they can't teach their kids how to make money. Now, I'm not saying it's bad, but when you follow this path, this is what you're going to teach your kids. You're going to teach your kids what you know. Now, I didn't follow this path, so I don't teach my kids this path. We don't have talks about going to college. We don't have talks about school. We have talks about being a man in life and how to create money. Those are the type of talks we have. We talk about the importance of knowledge. Not university, the importance of knowing. There's a very great clip we watched last week from the movie Higher Learning. And Ice Cube asked Omar Epps, he said, are you going to college just to go to college? Or are you going to college for the knowledge? And that reminds me of myself, because when my parents told me to go to college, I did terribly. When I decided to take that marketing course, I was in the front of the classroom. I showed up on time. I was early. I handed in every single assignment. I was very attentive. It was a different experience because I wanted the knowledge. So when you tell your kids pick a major, are they picking a major for an end result of a job, which is supposed to be money? Or are they picking something that they actually fucking care about and want to learn? Because when your kids are there for the knowledge, grades, job, and money are a byproduct of that thirst for knowledge. So really what we need to focus on is what are our kids passionate about and then investing in that. Does that make sense? Anyway, sorry. Let's come back. Check this out. Shout out to Hibby. Congratulations on the baby. Congratulations on your husband and getting married and all of that. She's OG Black Twitter. Might disagree with her on this one. So here's this video here. And it says here he filled himself for an entire year just to create this proposal, right? And it's a black man, and he's got himself a overweight white woman. And basically, he gets lower and lower and lower in every clip until he's finally on his knee to propose to her. And her response is, black men are so romantic to white women. And really, you know, the fact of the matter is, this man is not conducive to dating black women. He's just, that's like, he would be, but you can tell he's a blurred, right? He's a black nerd. Like, this guy probably has Dragon Ball Z, and she's probably into Naruto, and he's a fucking geek, right? And I'm not saying that to disparage him, because I'm a fucking geek too, and I love Naruto. Actually, I never really got into Naruto. I love Dragon Ball Z and all these other things. But I think this is a product of, he probably grew up around white folks, and he's culturally white, and that's what works for him. But white culture is very different from black culture. Black culture, it doesn't leave much room for certain types of silliness, right? This, you know, we're very homophobic, and we're judgy people in different ways. I think all human beings are judgy, but in certain ways we're judgy. And what the last thing you want to be called in the black community is corny. However, if you can withstand the black community calling you corny, you create trends.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
And that's really what black culture does, is when it calls something corny, it's basically creating a filter. And if you can get past that filter, you'll be the new trend. I remember when it was corny to wear Vans. Now niggas wear Vans. It took some nigga somewhere, some rapper, to say, I don't give a fuck what you think. I'm rocking these shits. And then people always respect when you do you. Okay? Some people can't get past that, and so they date white women. So no, I just think it has nothing to do with skin color. That particular situation has to do with the fact that he's just fucking geeky as shit. And, you know, white people, you know, I was talking to Dax about this, and he was like, white girls are into guys who don't take themselves too serious, right? That's why white guys do weird shit, like wear dresses and skirts, and white girls think that's cool. This is what Dax told me. He was talking to me about dating in Austin, and, you know, they say that the white women, you know, the guy takes them too serious. And so that's why they like, you know, the black guys who, you know, are willing to embarrass themselves, right? That's really what this comes down to. If you're down to embarrass yourself, white women to date you. This is what Dax told me. I don't know how true this is, but it seems to be a lot of truth in it, because I see y'all doing some really weird, suspect shit. White boys do some really suspect, weird shit. Not all of them, just some of them. All right. What else we got? And then we'll go to phone lines. Take Sotep and your name at 202-596-5631. Yeah. He said, I don't respect anybody who wears Vans and can't do a kickflip. David Rex said, rappers used to laugh at the metal scene for skinny jeans, then stole that whole style. I was never a fan. Yeah, that's a great example. That's a great, great example. Somebody had to break that trend, right? And then, or break that filter, that barrier of corniness, and then it became a trend, and now black people dress like white people. It's really weird to me. And now white people dress like, I don't even know what white people dress like. They just have horrible style most of the time, unless they're questionable in their sexuality, and then they look very metrosexual. Anyway, I'm at a fork in a road where I'm indecisive on where I want to go. Let's go. Let's talk about Goldstein's homie. Fuck it. Elijah Schaefer. You've made it to the Summer Jam screen. Blair White, she says, if you want to know reason number one, well, Elijah Schaefer, she's sharing. So Blair White, y'all know Blair White is the conservative trans person. I don't know the pronoun situation. Let's just say person. Hopefully they still identify as a person. Or unless they're trans species. But he says, reason why I'm not conservative, okay, we have the most based transgenders. Now, I got to say something, you know, when you come for somebody You gotta be ready for the clapback. So he came for Blair White, and here she came with the clapback. So she says, if you want to know reason number one, it's that he sexually assaults women and men. But I guess that hasn't come out yet. Oops. Damn. She says here, I was cool with Elijah Schaefer for a while, though it was weird that the first time we met, he took my gay friend into a room alone for quite some time. Not my business. Wow. I was even cool with him when everyone had a story about him cheating on his wife constantly. Not my problem. But when he lost his career for sexually assaulting a married woman he and I have both worked with, I was pretty disgusted. He fled the country after all that. So I don't know why he cares about my YouTube debate half a globe away. Repressed homosexuality seems rough. I gotta tell you, I believe Blair. I believe him. I believe Blair. Okay. And I believe Blair. Because of the way Elijah Schaefer acts, this it seems to correlate. It seems to correlate. Now I know why Elijah Schaefer acts the way he does. And I said last week that these people that, you know, race grift, they are dealing with some sort of shortcoming in their own lives, some sort of inadequacy, some sort of unhappiness. Because when you're secure about yourself, when you have confidence in yourself, you don't deal in the lower realms of society to enrich yourselves, to make money, right? Like, these are not things that you deal in, right? So when we look at, you know, just my career as a human being, it's trackable, right? Like, you can go and see the work that I've done, and nowhere in there do you see selling out, right? So if we type in something like this, right? Let me see if we can find it. Here we go. Right? This is old.
Here's an easy...
So, doxing myself a bit here. I'll show you what I mean.
Marketing for AfroCrops, and you're now watching AFK Insider.
Alright. So...
I became involved with AfroCrops.
So this is 9 years ago.
I believe it was August of 2013 when I met with them at the Seed Experience trade show. We kind of hit it off right from the start.
So you can see, like, I was at, like, trade shows and dealing in, you know, holistic foods, et cetera, right? So, like, you know, I never felt comfortable dealing in the lower realms of society to make money. I was just like, nah, there's money exists everywhere. I want to get it the right way. So when I see people on the timeline getting their coins by delving in the dark realms of society, it tells me they're dealing with some inadequacy, because it is my self-confidence that says I don't have to do things as a bad person to come up. Which leads us to Laura Loomer. I just want Laura Loomer to just fucking be honest for like half a second. I just want her to just not be fake news.
Where?
Like, that's my biggest gripe with her. She's just unapologetic about being fake news, and just, she's just a fucking crybaby, yo. Like, everything bothers her. Which is really weird. Laura, I love you, but like, you gotta cool the fuck out, you know? So she says here, what a moronic interview by Tucker Carlson. Imagine being so dense that you accuse Israel of being hateful towards Christians while ignoring what every Muslim country does to Christians. I just lost a lot of respect for Tucker Carlson. This is truly a moronic interview. So she says right here, ignoring what every Muslim country does to Christians. Let's play the first minute of this video, and you tell me if he's ignored what Muslim countries have done to Christians.
A consistent but almost never noted theme of American foreign policy is that it is always the Christians who suffer. When there's a war abroad that the United States is funding, it is Christians who tend to die disproportionately. And this goes back a long way, 60 years really, to Vietnam, where Catholics in that country were massacred. But it's accelerated. So, for example, during the more than a decade the U.S. government spent occupying Iraq, the ancient Christian community of Iraq was completely devastated. 9 out of 10 of them are no longer there. They're gone. That was an effect of our foreign policy, but it was almost never noted in the United States and almost never, ever even mentioned by Christian clergy in this country, many of whom supported that war and that occupation. Why is that? Maybe because it wasn't. Virtually no one in any American church said anything when Christians were killed in Syria, very often by Islamic extremists paid for by the United States. But nobody said anything.
So we're 1 minute and 2 seconds in, and it completely contradicts what Laura says here. She says, ignoring what every Muslim country has done to Christians. But literally, only thing that happened is she jumped in, she read the headline, and then reacted. She read the headline and reacted. Okay. What is this? April 10th, April 9th. She had a whole day. You had like a whole day to watch the interview. Did you hit play, Laura? All you had to do was hit play. But being a Zionist, the dishonest Zionist that she is, because that's what she is. She's a dishonest Zionist. She gives Jews a bad name. Sometimes she's good. Sometimes she's not. But shit like this is why people say, you know, Jews are liars. The Zionists can't be trusted. It's people like Laura Loomer that make it bad for other Jews. And it's always the people with the microphones, as Rudy says, right? So Laura's got a big microphone. She makes Jews look bad. Don Lemon's got a microphone. He makes black people look bad. You know, Biden, no, actually, I should say Sam Harris makes white people look bad, right? So we got to be careful when we start, you know, using one person to represent an entire group of people. But this is just terrible, Laura. Like fucking pull yourself together just because somebody doesn't agree with you. And it's just like, yo, all you had to do was hit play. Just hit play, motherfucker. While we're talking about grifters, dishonest grifters, you know, I never really, I always knew there was something fishy with this character. We've talked about it. People have asked me about this guy in the past, and I said I'm gonna hold my opinions until a further date. And well, I'm just gonna play the video and let you guys decide what you think.
Have you heard of liberal math? It's destroying the country.
So you've heard about girl math, but what about liberal math? Liberal math is if you get something that's paid for with your taxes, but not with your credit card, then it is free.
What does that even mean? Like, why don't you tell? I mean, what?
If you just keep printing money, then everything is free. If there is a war we do not like, then it is very expensive. But if there is a war we do like, then it is free. If gas is the same and not higher than it was last week, then you've actually made money. If you go to college and study communist dance theory, then the government will just force someone else to pay off your loan, so it will be free. If you're a hardworking, tax-paying homeowner contributing to society, well, don't be silly. Obviously, then nothing is free. But if you're an undocumented, unvaccinated, unknown, unverified, un-American illegal immigrant, well, then everything is free.
No, this ain't the video. That's not the video I wanted. Hold on. This the one I want. Here we go. Let's play this one. Wait. Yeah, here we go. This is the right one. I'm sorry. I had the wrong video. Check this out.
So you've heard about girl math, and now you've heard about liberal math from a few places. Now let's talk about Benny Johnson math. Benny Johnson math is if you take someone else's content and don't tag them, then it's actually your original content. Benny Johnson math is if you stick your watermark on someone else's face, you know, the way a dog pees on a tree, then that also is your original content. Benny Johnson math is if you use a hot girl for your thumbnail on YouTube and take her entire video with just a couple new memes spliced in, then well, it's really your original content. Benny Johnson math is if you stick a watermark on my dog, on my effing dog, then I guess he's your dog now? This is not a victimless crime. Where is PETA? Anyways, Benny Johnson math is if you start a video acting as if the material that's about to follow was written by you when it was actually written, recorded, produced, edited, and uploaded by another creator, then it's still your original content. Benny Johnson math is when you make lots and lots and lots of money by lifting content and not tagging the creator and slapping your watermark on their face, then that too is your original content. If you steal a creator's content and no one sees the original, then is it even a federal crime called copyright law? As it turns out, Benny Johnson math isn't actual math at all. It's just stealing.
Damn. Now, I've spoken about this in the past, where I said there are content creators, and then there are content thieves, right? And basically, you know, that's the new thing, especially since the emergence of the Elon Bucks, is, you know, why spend time creating content when you can just steal somebody else's content and then slap a new caption on it, maybe edit it a little bit, throw some new music behind it, slap a couple of GIFs, and then I saw Jeremy the Quartering, and maybe I can find that under that tweet. And I gotta say, I'm almost proud of him for what he said, right? Because I saw Jeremy going down the same path, and I'm like, Jeremy, do you gotta grift that hard, bro? Like, is life that hard? You gotta grift this much? Here it is, right here. So here's Jeremy the Quartering. Shout out to Jeremy. Shout out to the Quartering. He's always been good to me, so I don't wanna play him, but I like this from him. He says, "This has inspired me to stop doing similar type videos." And when I first saw Jeremy doing them videos, I'm like, "You don't know what you're doing? You think this is cool?" Sometimes I got to be honest, you know, maybe people aren't as smart as me, or maybe they're not as ethical as me, but I don't know what it is exactly, to be honest with you. But, you know, I saw Jeremy, what he would do is, like, there's some viral clip and it's already done. It's already proven itself, right? Because it's done millions of views or whatever. And basically what he does is he just says something for about 5 seconds at the end of the video and goes, "What do you think?" And I'm like, "You've chosen this cheap route too, bro?" So now that he's come forward and says, "This has inspired me to stop doing similar type videos," I'm like, "Oh, good. I can get back to somewhat respecting you now." Because this shit's just corny, right? Like, I don't know. Just again, it's just me, right? And again, I'm not a guy who knows how to generate millions of dollars from stealing other people's content. I don't know how to do that, because I have morals and I have ethics, and I expect more for myself. So if you guys want to rush to $1 million off of stealing content and you want to get there this year, then, you know, go do that. I'm going to walk and pace myself 100,000 every year. And if it takes me 10, it takes me 10 years to reach, you know, $10 million, so to speak. But I know I created content along the way. We created the Grifties. We created HotepCon. We created the Grift Report. We created Hotep's Been Told You, and all of the concepts that people have tried to steal from us. The Daily Liar. We post a video shooting jump shots. Now here's the Daily Liar posting jump shots and shooting videos. At least Owen Schroyer had enough respect to tag me and challenge me. Right? We post videos, shooting jump shots, and now all of a sudden, you know, we get, where is it? Let me see if I can find it. I'm not gonna be able to find it. Anomaly posting videos of him juggling the soccer ball. And it's just like, it's weird to me, because people treat what I do as if it's planned, and I didn't plan the basketball shooting video. I was literally at the gym coaching kids soccer because it was indoor. It's winter here. And I said, yo, I'm here at the gym, because somebody in my comments mentioned, they said, yo, you don't really be doing this shit. So I videoed myself like, yo, I'm really at the gym right now. And somebody was like, somebody else commented and said, let's test your black card. Let's see your jump shot. So I was like, challenge accepted. I went and grabbed the basketball. I shot a few jump shots. And then people took it and were like, this is the content I need to create because it makes me more relatable. And it's true, it does make you more relatable to your followers. But when you do it after me, it's just like, it's kind of corny. You know what I'm saying? You said Pearl does the same thing as Benny. Like all these big content creators, that's all they do. They take other people's content. They comment on it for 2 seconds. And then, you know, now it's a viral video with their face on it and shit like that. It's kind of weird to me. I'd rather just have my shitty ass, less than 100 likes on Instagram, 10-second video of me doing pull-ups. Fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. And my 50 likes, I'm totally fine with that, you know, than to sit here, take time out of my day to try and create viral content. That shit's corny. Some of y'all, a little desperate, and y'all need that. To me, the shit's corny, right? To sit here, I tried it, and it did not feel good. It felt weird. You know, creating clips about the latest news and then sending it to the editor, and he did a fabulous job. I think created some great content, but it wasn't me. So I had to stop that shit. That shit was corny. That's not me. I don't do corny shit. I don't follow trends. I create them. So sometimes I'll experiment and see what is this thing that people are doing. Especially, you know, something about me is people make suggestions and they'll say, yo, you should try this. And I'm very much in a mindset of when people give you suggestions, you should definitely try it out. So people suggested I try and create that type of content. So I did it, you know, and after doing it for a couple of months, I go, this shit is corny. It's not me. This is not my brand. It's not what I represent. And, but I wasn't stealing content. I was actually creating content, which is a bit different. Everybody trying to be HJ? Yo, I'm trying to be HJ. Like, just be yourself. Like, just, you know. And I don't even want to be like one of those breaking news. And it's like, yo, you're not breaking news. You found this off of another website that broke this 2 hours ago. It's not breaking news anymore. If you just stole it of somebody who published it 2 hours ago, just hit the repost button, you know. So everybody just in breaking news. Shit's corny to me. And you're going to do well for now. But 10 years from now, let's see how you do 10 years from now. Oh, wow. Here we go. Somebody tagged me in it. Dr. Sydney Watson complaining. She says, so it's been brought to my attention that Pearly Things thinks it's acceptable to rip an entire video of mine, cut it up and post it on her own YouTube channel, unedited, without credit. I spent 2 weeks researching, writing and editing almost an hour long piece of content about Ruby Frank. Pearl took that, cut it up, slapped her watermark on my face and didn't even have the decency to tag or credit me anywhere. She didn't do that. She took the video and told her editors to do it, her African editors to do it. Desmond, unfollow him ASAP, please. Slow and steady wins the race. Yeah, that's what I believe in. In my entire time making content, I've never done this. Like, I remember this one time I was talking to this one chick. She got somewhat of a name, and she was in my DMs, and she was saying shit like, how come nobody ever invites me on Joe Rogan, and how come I don't get invited to Tim Cast, and how come I don't get invited? How come I don't get invited? And I didn't want to tell her the truth. I wanted to be like, you know, because you're fucking desperate and you're trash and you're corny and you want those things. When I stepped into this space, I didn't know Joe Rogan had a podcast when people suggested me go on his podcast. That's how oblivious I was. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know who Joe Rogan was. When I first got invited to the Joe Rogan podcast, I didn't know who Joe Rogan was. I'm not saying that to diss him. Not at all. Then I was like, oh, this is the dude from Fear Factor. And I never watched Fear Factor, so I wasn't familiar with him. Now I'm very familiar with Joe Rogan and the work he does. I didn't ask to be on Fox. I made jokes about asking to be on Fox. Oh, Fox, blah, 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 entertainment. But I don't do those things to get on Fox. I remember a few years ago, somebody hit me up, was like, yo, where's your press kit? I'm like, I ain't got no press kit. Well, how do you plan to get press? I'm like, bitch, fuck press. I don't give a fuck about press. When people find out who I am, they'll holler. They'll ring my number. I don't ask to go on podcasts. Taylor has to hit me up and tell me to go hit Timcast up to go back on Timcast. That's how much I don't give a fuck. Because I'm doing me. I'm doing me. I'm not thinking about Joe Rogan. I'm not thinking about Fox. I'm not thinking about Timcast. And that's why people respect me. That's why I wasn't thinking about InfoWars. I wasn't thinking about being on InfoWars. Was it the dream to be on InfoWars? Absolutely. I will not deny that. It's absolute dream to be on InfoWars. I followed Alex Jones for years. If you'd have told me when I first started following Alex Jones, I'd be on his show, I'd be like, really? Wow, it's fucking amazing. But I didn't reach out to InfoWars to get invited. InfoWars reached out to me. I didn't reach out to Fox News. Fox News reached out to me. So the problem is a lot of y'all is so desperate for attention, you don't get it. When you focus on you and you build you and you build your empire, you build your audience, people will come. What they say, if you build it, they will come. So they're looking at me like, Hotep, how come you getting the looks? You know, some people say it's a DEI situation. Oh, they just have you up there because you black. I think that's part of it. I also think it's because I'm different. I'm me. I mix intelligence with comedy. You don't know when I'm serious and when I'm being funny. That's part of my brand. Sometimes I'm being serious, but I'm being funny. Sometimes I'm being funny, but I'm being serious. Sometimes I'm being funny and being intellectual. Sometimes I'm being intellectual and I'm being funny. Not a lot of people have that skill. It's not my fault I go on somebody's show and I create classics. When I went on Timcast, people in the chat, this is the funniest episode of Timcast ever. Producers for Alex Stein's show last night. I can't remember the last time we had a show this funny. I do me. So my suggestion is if you want all this, first of all, you shouldn't want that. You should not want to be on Joe Rogan. You should not want to be on Fox News. What you should want is to put out good product. You should want to put out product you are proud of, that your mama could be proud of, that your family, that your kids, that your soul, that you don't sell can be proud of. And if you can do that, everything else comes with it. It's just that simple. So when these people hit me up, like, how come you get on Joe Rogan? How come you get this? How come you get that? It's called respect. Real recognize real. It's called respect. And I did the work, too. I did the work. I didn't. A key aspect was during the ripe Trump grifting days, I wasn't satisfied with the talking points, although I knew and used them. I wasn't satisfied with the talking points. I wasn't satisfied with saying government surveillance is Orwellian. I wasn't satisfied with that. I had to say, who the fuck is George Orwell? Then I look him up and I'm like, oh, I've studied this work before, but I've studied his work about sales copywriting. And not, or persuasion, I should say, and not his work on communism. So I had to go and read 1984 back to front about the victory. What was the name of the cigarettes? What was it? Victory cigarettes. I had to read about Winston. I had to, you know, feel that nausea of him in that bug infested bed having sex with this unattractive woman. I had to live that. Right. I had to read Animal Farm and make my kids read Animal Farm. I went and read dozens of books, minimum, at least 12 books on the Russian Revolution, on top of hours of listening to lectures about communism and the Russian Revolution. That's just on the Russian Revolution. Dove in so much. I read two biographies on Rasputin. I go back and listen to YouTube videos on Catherine the Great, right? I went and did 2 years of research to publish my dissertation called The Patriot Report, Unmasking the Conspiracy of Money and War. Right? What's my point? My point is some people in this space understood that basic bitch talking points gave them followers, gave them numbers, got them at CPAC, got them at Teep USA. But Hotep Jesus was not happy with that. I wanted to actually know what the fuck I was talking about so I could be invincible. You fast forward 8 years later, now I'm the final boss. I went from ignorant Negro to the final boss in 8 years. And I'm still not happy where I'm at. I'm still studying. These other grifters out here, all they care about is clickbait, headlines, just in, breaking news. Then you sit them across from me, we have a discussion, and they fall apart. They sink down in their chair. You saw the conversation with me and Pearly Things. A very light debate as she slowly sunk into her chair. You see me interview numerous people who I've had to back off because I knew they wasn't prepared to have these conversations with me. You see what I'm saying? And then they come and say, well, how come you're respected by the giants in media? Why are you respected by Greg Gutfeld? Why are you respected by Joe Rogan, Alice Jones?
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
Because I did the studies. I studied the material. You didn't. You settled on basic bitch talking points because number go up. Follower number go up. Likes, reposts go up. You were happy with that. I wasn't happy with that. I know at some point number must go down. If you're telling the truth about life and society and philosophy, at some point number got to go down. I go on a show, I get 1,000 new followers. I lose 500 the next week because I tell the truth. And I showed you the presentation earlier when people are presented with new information, what happens? They got to deny and ignore, so I lose followers. But I'm not here for the followers. I'm not here for number go up. I'm here for longevity. I'm here for enrichment. I'm here for community. You see, you're counting the number of followers. I'm counting the number of people we put in seats at an event. We are not the same.
Hotep, you're a genius. HotepJesus.com.
I'm counting the number of people in our community. We are not the same. See, you have followers. We have community. You have engagement groups. We have community. We actually care to see Strong Dad win. We care to see Goldstein win. They care to see me win. Haram Life, Cannon, Doe. We care to see each other win because we know if he win, I win. If he on Fox News and he got the name Hotep in his name, he on Joe Rogan got the name Hotep in his name, then all of a sudden Sam Tripoli's having a conversation with Cannon Hotep. You see, we got community. These people are solopreneurs. I'm not a solopreneur. Men of Order has 11 people, including myself, on staff. 11. I am not a solopreneur. I am CEO of a corporation. Hotep Nation is not one individual. There's 5 people on the board, on the official paperwork, and there's probably at least 20 more that contribute. Taylor heads up video. Mike heads up events. Leah heads up PR. Because we're a community. You see, you worried about number go up. I'm worried about whose life did I affect? Whose life did I make better? That's what helps me sleep at night. When I get the comments and they say, Hotep Jesus, you help me. Fuck that number go up shit. And that's why these people don't get the looks on these channels. I went to an event. I ain't gonna say which one because I don't want to dox. But we got big wigs at mainstream media come up to me at an event and be like, bro, your shit is fire. I'm talking about big wigs at mainstream events. Now, he can't say too much because he got to keep his job. And I understand that. Right? Because he worked for leftist media. Right? This is a guy who works for leftist media. So he can't say too much, but he's a big wig up there. He comes to me and says, yo, your content is fire. I'm a fan. He's inviting me out to his house. Come shoot guns with me out. Come, you can stay with me however long. But these people, they want number go up. And they wonder why I get respect from the Titans. Why? Be yourself. Be yourself fearlessly. Now, I'm not saying be the worst part of yourself. Be the best part of yourself fearlessly. Because sometimes people say, you know, be yourself. So then they just show their ass. And there's a time and place for that, right? Like when I had MoFax on solo. There's a time and place for that when you need to show your ass. But there's also a time and place where you need to show the best of you. All right, let's go to phone lines. Text Hotep your name to 202-596-5631. I'll be right back after this short brief commercial break.